4. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Started feeling sick yesterday morning. And so at Old Country Buffet, I thought, well, food has nutrients, and the more food I eat, the more nutrients I get. But I guess that doesn't work that way. But I'm giving myself a lot of vitamins here, trying to get ready. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 22. It says, that ye put off concerning the conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But that'd be a good, easy memory verse right there. Verse 27. Good, we're going to go ahead and pray. We'll talk about not giving place to the devil. Let's pray. And Lord, your word sure is wonderful. It's perfect. We thank you for it. Thank you for the great special and the music. And thank you for the chance to be at church, Lord. The beautiful day. And so great salvation where Jesus is in our heart. We're born again and going to heaven. We thank you for that, Father. I pray you'd help us today, Lord, to study your word. I pray your spirit would speak to us. And I pray we'd be encouraged and strengthened. I pray we'd learn what you have for us today, Lord. Control my body, my mind, my tongue, and I just give it to you. And I pray we'd have a great understanding of this simple verse, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we go back to verse 22. It says we're supposed to put off the old man. The old man is corrupt, it says. You put off concerning the former conversation. That's the word conversation in the New Testament always means lifestyle. It's the whole body of your work, what you say, how you act, how you dress, the jokes you tell, what you listen to, that's your conversation, your lifestyle. It says you're supposed to put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. In Ephesians, it uses the term put on and put off a lot, and it's talking about in a clothing way. Like if this coat was really nasty and dirty, I would say, I'm going to put this off. And so I'd put this off. And that's what it's saying, put off the old man. And then it would say, put on the new man. So now I've got a new clean coat, and I put this coat on, and now I can put it on, and now I've got on the new coat. I put off the old man. The Bible says the old man is corrupt. Grasp that, because if you think, well, I'm a good person, I don't really need to change much, if you think that, you don't understand the Bible teaches about your nature. Your old nature is corrupt. It'll lose its temper, it'll be self-centered, it'll try to serve you, it'll put you first above God, it'll make you love yourself more than God, it'll make you say the wrong things and do the wrong things. Your nature is corrupt, your old man. Before you're saved, if you've been saved, before you're saved, that you is the old you. The problem is many Christians do not put off the old man. They just kind of try to put on the new man. You ever been really dirty and stinky and have to change and don't have time to shower? No? Well, if you ever had, you would know that it doesn't work real well. And it just make the outside clothes stinky. I'm trying to hint to something. Never mind. But here's the thing. The Bible says you're supposed to put off the old man. You don't just try to add, okay, I'm not going to be so mean now, and I'm not going to go and rob banks anymore, but I'm still me. That's not enough. You can't say, well, now I'm going to go to church and just start adding church to my life. You didn't put anything off. You got to put off the old man, your old life, your old lifestyle, your old way of thinking, and put on the new man, it says. Because the old man's corrupt. Can I ask you this? When did you put off the old man? Or you just keep on trying to put the new man on, and he keeps on getting corrupt. Many people have a great desire to serve God, but they don't want to put off the old man, so they keep on trying to put on the new man, and they keep trying to add, okay, I'll go to church sometimes. And you say, well, I'm going to church, but I'm still, you know. Because you keep on putting on and not putting off. When did you put off the old man? I just want to ask that question. Verse 23 it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The verse after our memory verse last week, Romans 12:2, and it says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind needs renewed. My mind needs renewed. Listen, I learned so much junk in my 15 and a half years of not being a Christian. And since I've been a Christian, I still get junk in all the time. All the time. Not even trying. Just our society throws it at you. And you get your mind full of bad stuff. And your mind needs renewed. Somebody once said, do you believe in brainwashing people? I said, well, a bunch of brains need washed. Yeah, we got some pretty dirty minds and some pretty corrupt minds. By the way, why do we only think of dirty minds as sexual perversion? A lot of minds are dirty because they don't love God first. They're dirty because they don't think of God as a priority. They're dirty because they still tell bad jokes. They're dirty because they say bad words. They're dirty because they love this world. And we need to renew our mind. We need to be transformed. That's how we're transformed, by the renewing of our mind. I ask you this: when was your mind renewed? I can tell you when my mind was renewed. I got so busy as a teenager, it was when I was 17, I got so busy serving God that I didn't have time for the old friends, I didn't have time for TV anymore, I didn't have time for the movies anymore, and I just got my mind totally changed. I read my Bible every day, I was washed by the water of the Word, and I got all the junk out. Can I tell you, you can't watch TV all the time and have a renewed mind. I was 6 years, well, when I first started serving God, as a teenager, 17, 18, 19, my TV was still always on in my house, but I was never home. So I didn't hardly ever watch TV. I didn't know what movies were out, didn't know anything else, and I just got so busy. I didn't get all the junk on my mind anymore, and I wasn't around my bad friends telling all the bad stories and talking about their exploits or their girlfriends, and I wasn't at parties anymore, and I wasn't getting the junk on my mind, and I was filling my mind with Bible, and I was going to church a lot and hearing preaching, and my mind got renewed, and guess what? My whole way of thinking was different. Before I was after the things of the world, I began to be after the things of God. Before I cared about this life, I began to care about the next life. When was your mind renewed? The statistics on how much we watch TV and let it program our mind are amazing. The number of children under four who have a entertainment center in their room. The number of hours the average adult in America watches television. Can I tell you that most television is not godly? If that surprises you, if you don't know that, and by the way, it's not just wicked, evil, terrible, you know, the worst shows on TV. Anything that's not putting Jesus first, anything that's not clean, you need to renew your mind. We'll get back to that a little bit later because it's not very popular. And when is your mind renewed? Verse 25. Verse 24, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the new man, and we'll get that in a different sermon. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying and speaking truth. You know that, I don't know why this is. Can I tell you this? This is a pathetic thing. This is true in preachers. Somewhere we got an idea that lying is only when it's a flat-out evil lie. And white lies aren't bad and exaggerations aren't bad. Do you know how many people are liars? You know how many people you meet in life that they can tell you something and you can't count on? You don't know if what they're saying is true? It's gotten bad. It's gotten where now we lie so much that our own family members don't believe us. Don't be a liar. Liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Lying's a big sin to God. It's an abomination. Just like homosexuality is an abomination, a big sin. Something that makes God sick. Lying, a lying tongue is an abomination. How do you not lie? Well, this is really deep. Verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You ready? You want to know how not to lie? Here's a trick. Tell the truth. Aren't you glad he came to church today? If you tell the truth, you won't be lying. replace the evil with the good. It's funny because God says, use what you were doing before. If your tongue was a lying tongue, now use that tongue that was so good at wagging and is so well oiled, and now use that tongue to go and say good things and help people. Watch how it says in verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give that him that needeth. It says, don't only not steal anymore. You won't be able to just not steal. You cannot just not sin. Understand that. You've got to replace things. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You cannot just not steal anymore. Now you've got to use those hands that were stealing and picking pockets for the good thing. You, as a matter of fact, use your hands to the extent that you go and you are able to use your hands to help people who are needy because you work so hard. As the Bible says, you overcome the evil with the good. And so the same way you quit lying is by telling the truth. The same way you quit stealing, by begin to use your hands honestly for good things. It's a replacement thing. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. There's nothing sinful, as I talked about, I think last week, about being angry. But when you can't control your anger, you can have righteous indignation. Jesus had it in the temple. And give her a hand there. You can have righteous indignation and you can be angry, but you don't have to sin in your anger. You can get mad, somebody irritates you, somebody takes your stuff, somebody does something wrong. You're angry, but you don't get revenge. That's angry and not sinning. Angry is doing one bad, is not doing bad when you feel like doing bad. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 is where we'll focus. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Our society is becoming more and more demon-oppressed and demon-possessed, and more rough things are happening. More and more I hear of demonic things. There's signs of demons in the Bible, and I can't really get into all the things, but the Bible talks about things that demons do. But I hear more and more people talking to me about, you know, Pastor, I feel myself pushed down in my bed and I can't breathe. And people talking about how that somebody they know all of a sudden is doing crazy things. And they look at them, it's not even them anymore. And people are talking about more and more things that are demonic and more things that are evil. Voices that tell me to kill myself, people tell me about oftentimes. Voices that tell us to kill ourselves or kill others. People destroying their bodies. You know, the guy who is possessed in the graveyard, you know he's cutting himself with knives? You hear about people cutting themselves with knives now? You see how they're mutilating their body? People are mutilating their bodies now? The temple of God the devil hates, he tries to destroy it. That's why you don't defile God's temple, God's body. You don't cut it up. You don't poke all kinds of holes in it. I don't know how some of these people drink. How it seems all the liquids go out their lip. I don't know. It's the temple of God. And the body is getting defiled and abused and destroyed and graffitied and messed up. And we are in a society that's seeing more and more signs of demons. Sometimes the spiritual becomes physical. Some men in the Bible, they were seven sons of a man named Siva, and they decided to go try to cast out a demon without being saved. And when they went and tried to cast out that demon, they said, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," and they weren't saved. And that demon came out and literally attacked them and ripped all their clothes off and clawed them up and beat them up, and these people ran out all halfway destroyed and all torn up. Why? Because the demonic things, when the demonic activity in the society becomes worse and worse, In that uptick, you begin to see more and more demons working. And that's the case I think we see in our society. If you look around you, look at the stuff that's on TV now. There's some bad stuff. There wasn't stuff like that on TV when I was a kid. Demonic stuff, occultish stuff. It's going crazy out there. Giving place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. I want to talk about that today. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is a roaring lion, and he's walking about seeking to devour you. You understand that for a sec? You personally, the devil is waiting to devour you. You. The Bible says don't give him a place. Neither give place to the devil. Can you imagine if you were in Africa and you were there and you had your hut or your house or whatever, And there was a feral lion that was attacking everybody, and it was out there trying to kill everybody and eating several people. And and you know what? You said, you know what? I don't want that lion to eat me. But I do have a place to keep this lion right here. And in your house, you put a nice big pillow there. It said lion on it. And you had that spot there. And there was that lion out in the field. And instead of shutting your door, you went and you got behind the door and opened up the door and pointed the spot and had some meat in that spot for that lion to eat. Lion comes in, sits on his big cushion in the middle of the house. And you said, okay, now you listen to me. I'm not going to follow you or let you kill me. I'm just giving you a place here in my house. So you be good. How's that going to work? The Bible is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You cannot give him a place to stay. It says, neither give place to the devil. Let me give you a few ways you give place to the devil. How you give him a place in your life. How you give him a spot to stay so he can devour you. Number one, we see right in this passage in verse 26. The context here is, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, colon, neither give place to the devil. It's all in one sentence there. I think you'll understand this when I explain this. When you stay angry, the devil now has a place in your life. Maybe you're better than me, but when I'm angry at somebody and it stays there, I start plotting. Are you a plotter like I am? You might not be going to kill them, just slash your tires or key their car, or maybe you're not going to even do that. Maybe you're just going to tell them off, or maybe you're going to go tell everybody about them, or maybe you're going to go and you're just going to give them dirty looks. Maybe whatever you're going to do, but you have let them have that place, and you know what? It hangs on. And the devil came in and said, you should be angry, furious about that. And you said, you know what? Sit here for a while. I'm going to dwell on this. I'm going to think on this. I'm going to go ahead and let this stay here. And the devil says, all right, I'm in. Be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Do not let the sun set while you're still angry, because now you've given place to the devil, and he has a place, and you're still angry, and now you're bitter, and the devil has got a great place in your life. You know why so many lives are messed up, and some lives are messed up for years and years and years, and they always seem to go back to be destroyed? Is because they still have a place of anger from decades ago. Decades. Let it go. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. That's not even, by the time the sun goes down, you better be done being angry. Listen, you cannot not be angry. It's a natural reaction. Somebody does something wrong. Somebody drops something and lands in your toe. You don't say, you know, thank you for that. You don't do that. It's natural to be mad. It's natural to be angry. It's a human emotion. God got angry. It's not a sin to be angry. The Lord was angry. But it is a sin when you continue in your anger and you let the sun go down upon your wrath. And it's also a sin when you get bitter and you take bad actions and you've got the canker, the Bible calls it a bitterness, the cancer of bitterness, and you just continue with your anger in your mind. But they deserve it. But that still ruins you. You still let the lion in. Well, they deserve me to be mad at them. And you let the lion in, and you're giving the devil a place in your life. And you're going to continue to have a bad family. You're going to continue to have your fights. You're going to continue to have your anger. You're going to continue to not get along. And you're going to continue to have defeat in your life because the devil has a place in your life of anger. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. And what if they don't want to resolve it? Then you learn to forgive. And don't hang around him if you can avoid it. But you know what? Do not sit here and let the devil have a place of anger in your life. Can I ask you today, is there anybody you are continuing to be angry at right now? I have plenty of opportunities to be angry just like you. How many of you have an opportunity in your life? There's someone you could be angry at right now. They deserve you to be angry at them. Plenty of us. I got a very nasty phone call this morning. This morning when I was going to pick people up for church. This morning from a person from our church who's backslidden. And they let me have it. I thought, you stinking heathen. I'm busy picking up people for church. I'm busy. You're sitting there, and I can tell you just woke up, and the first thing in the morning you want to call me, you stinking backslidden, wicked, vile heathen. I felt like saying. You know what? Let it go. When they find the end of their sin and go in their folly, which they're going to do, they'll call me and say, can you help me, Pastor? I'm sorry. And I don't want to say, okay, Lord, forgive me, I'm angry at them. No, I don't keep anger. It doesn't do me any good. If I'm going to bother to be angry, I'm going to get revenge. And I'm not going to get revenge. So I'm not going to stay in anger. You'd be very mean to me. I'll punch you, and then I'll forgive you. You know what? I don't believe in dwelling in anger. It's not with God. I don't want to give the devil a place in my life. You know what? The devil attacks me enough when I don't give him a place. Why should I give a place just to hang around there? Because, you know, here's what you do. You sit down there and dwell on it. I can't believe they did that. I'm going to tell them off. I'm going to do this. And then you start plotting. And you dwell on it. And then they half the time they don't even remember it. They're just jerks to everybody. You took it personally. And all of a sudden, you walk up to that person and they're mad at you because they didn't talk to you. And all of a sudden, you or they flip their lid and just a little thing. Don't let the anger stay. Number two, how can we let the devil have a place? One, we can continue in anger. Number two, we can accept sin in our life. We can accept sin in our life. I'm going to read you Psalm 66. Well, let's quote it to you. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The word regard means if I let it have a place. If I look at it and I look around and say, ooh, there's a sin there. You know what? That's okay. I'm going to go on. If a regard, if I accept iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We all sin. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. But some of us accept the sin in our life. We do it with many different methods. Some of us say, well, I was just born that way. Some of us say, well, that's just the way my family is. Some of us say, well, they deserve that anger. And some of us say, well, how can I resist? And some of us say, well, I've got a disease. Don't get me started on alcoholism. It's a sin. And people say, well, I've got this. Or you say, you know what? I just like that sin too much. You know, I was so glad when I was a young Christian, I was honest with God about my sin. I had some things that I didn't want to give up, and I didn't love God enough, and I went to God and I said, God, be honest with you, I don't want to quit that. I just don't love you enough to stop doing it. I think God accepts that a lot better than just trying to justify your sin. And I went to God and told God those things, and God gave me victory over it. But you know what? Sometimes we just allow that sin in our life. And you know what the Bible says? The Lord won't hear us. Because you gave him a place, the devil, a place in your life, and let him have that. Whatever that sin is, it just sits there, and it's one little sin in your life, and you try to work your whole entire life around that one sin. You give it a place. And it's right in the middle of the way, and you keep on working around it. You try to build a house around that one hole in the fault in the ground, and you keep on trying to build everything, and everything just keeps on collapsing. Bible says if you have a place and accept in the sin in your life, listen, God's merciful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Saul let the sin of his hatred and jealousy for David continue, and it ruined his whole life for one sin. He lost his family. He lost his kingdom because he accepted the sin in his life. You might not even be strong enough, but you can strive against it. Bible says you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, can I say, do not accept sin in your life. You may know you're not strong enough. You may not know how you're going to overcome it. But you go to God and say, Lord, I'm not accepting this. I'm confessing this to you. Maybe you'll get some counsel. Maybe you'll seek some scriptures on it. But do not accept that sin in your life. You're giving the devil a place. The Bible says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You say, you know, but I'm going to church now, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and you're doing some good things, and you stop some things. But that what is it in your life that you accepted and just said, this isn't going to change? Don't give it a place. You're giving the devil a place, and the lion's sitting in your room. Number three, how to not give place to the devil. Remove his stuff from your house. Remove the devil's stuff from your house. Let me take you back to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I think my voice is going to make it. Praise the Lord. Amen. they had a defeat at Ai, Israel did, and they were defeated, and they were very, very in despair and depressed, and they went to God. Listen closely. They went to God and said, God, what's going to happen? How can you allow this? And God says, why are you praying? There's a problem with you. That's why you're defeated. verse 9 of Joshua 7, and the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and they're praying, and envir us around and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. And they've even taken of the accursed thing, and have even stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even in their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs on their enemies, but backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people. Up, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. He says, you lost this battle because there's an accursed thing among your stuff. Among you, there's an accursed thing. There was some evil things they had that they weren't supposed to have. And they were accursed things. They had a curse on them. And it was evil stuff. And God said, I'm not going to dwell among you, and you're not going to be blessed. And there's a curse there. I fear that many of us have things that we shouldn't have in our homes, among our stuff. Accursed things. Do you know there are things that invite demons? There are things that make demons, you've opened the door and said, you have a place in my house. In the Old Testament, certainly was idols, and that's part of it. But there's many things. There's many things that attract demons. They're accursed things. They're ungodly things. And just because you're used to them and you're comfortable with them does not mean they aren't demonic. It does not mean it's not given a place in your life for the devil. You can eventually become so cold and so used to anything. Listen, you become so cold, you watch people get murdered on TV all the time and think nothing of it. You get so used to anything, you see things. Step away from that stuff for a while. When I stepped away from my old music, and I stepped away from my old television, and stepped away from all that stuff, and then I went back and saw it again, I was shocked what I had watched and heard. But I didn't think anything of it because I didn't know any better. Accursed things among us. There are evil things in evil places, and we give the devil a place in our very home. Just like Ai, little things defeat you sometimes. You get defeated by a little thing in your life, like a little tiny city like Ai. It was a little dinky little town. They just destroyed a powerful town. Ai was a little tiny town, and they defeated them. Can I ask you, do little things defeat you in your life? Little things in your day ruined your day. Little things set you off. Little sins that shouldn't defeat you defeat you. Maybe it's because you've let the devil have a place in your life, and he's right there in the middle of your wheelhouse. Not hard for a lion to devour you when he's sitting right behind you. I was at a house, apartment, to take it back. Oh, three blocks from here. Go right down 240, take right at 16th, apartments on the left. I was in those about. I was door knocking one day. I was out witnessing, knocking on doors. A guy came to the door, said, I'm from Open Door Baptist Church, just out talking to people. And he came outside, closed the door, rough-looking guy, really rough-looking guy. He was wearing a tank top. He was a heroin addict. He had needle lines all down his arm. And he said, man, I'm so glad you came. I've been asking God for help. He says, I was saved many years ago, and me and my girlfriend had gone back into our drugs, and we're talking. And he wanted to give his life back to God and serve God and get away from his heroin. And he was back in his addiction, and we're talking, and everything was fine, and everything was good. This is not a choir boy here. He said, you know what? This is cold out here. Let's go inside. So he invites me inside. The second I walk in this apartment, it's on the third floor, walk through the threshold of this door, I mean literally the little door entrance, walk through that door, and immediately I felt I was among thousands of demons. I mean, instantly, I was fine out here, I walked through that door, second the threshold, oppression. I felt like there was little imps everywhere around me looking at me, everywhere around me, flying around the room. I mean, I just felt like there was demons everywhere. I sense those things. It was so powerful and so intense and so incredible and so real that I didn't even listen to what he said. He was talking to me, and I'm just looking at the ground, walking in, and thinking, what in the world is going on here? And inside of me, the Holy Spirit said, get out of here. You're in the wrong spot. You need to get out of here. And I don't do anything real quickly, if you know me. I'm kind of a slow mover. And I walked over, and I sat down on the couch, and he's still talking to me. Yeah, and this and that, and I'm going through this and that. And I'm not hearing a word he's saying. I'm thinking, Lord, I need help. I'm in trouble. I'm in a dangerous spot. I don't know what was going to happen. And I'm sitting there just praying. And finally, I'm just looking at the ground. I look up, and looking at me, there's a skull there looking at me. A skull. So I began looking around the room, and here's in a book on witchcraft, Satanism, the occult, all around this room. And he looks at me and says, oh yeah, he says, the lady I live with, she's a witch. And she scares me to death. She's a satanic witch. Might have been part of this problem. And I look around this room, and there was occult things everywhere. Every book had pentagrams on it. Everywhere you look in this room, there was death, things. And he says, that woman is totally possessed by demons, and I'm scared to death of her. She has power. It's amazing the power she has. And he says, I'm afraid to leave because I don't know what she'll do to me because I know she has power and control and demons. I would leave. And I said, I was looking. He says, you know what the scariest thing this whole house is her idol. And I'm getting ready to get out. So I just stand up. I said, you know what? I got to go. The voice inside of me says, you got to get out of here. By the way, greater is he that is new than he that is in the world. I believe that, but also I don't want to go in the wrong situation to fight. Enough kindergartners could kill me. And when I'm in a room full of demons and I'm by myself, the Lord is saying it's not the place, not the place to fight this battle. Get out of there. He says, she has an idol and it is alive. And that thing looks at me. It's alive. It's got a demon in it. He says, I've seen his eyes move. It's real. Now, I'm not talking to a choir boy here. I'm talking to a heroin addict. He says, you're lucky because the idol is usually right there in front of where you're sitting, but she moved it into her room. So I was so glad because I keep on trying to put it in the other room and she keeps putting it out there because the thing is real. There's something about that thing is, the rest of the house is scary. He said, let me show you this idol. I said, you know, I don't want to see it. I got to go. And I'm trying to get out the door. And by the way, if you know me, I'm not afraid of anything. I don't get scared of anything. And I'm the most stable guy you ever meet. And I'm not Mr. Freaky Guy at all. And I say, you know, I don't want to see it. I got to go. And he walks there. He grabs this thing off the dresser. And I don't even remember what it was. He just turned around and showed me this idol. He just went like this. And literally, I got hit with a wave of evil. I mean, it knocked me back physically. It was still 4 feet away from me, 5 feet away from me. My face went numb. It was just some little idol with a bunch of, I don't know if it was needles or nails or something all the way through the thing. Just some little, and physically, I mean, my head snapped back. It hit me so hard. I said, I gotta go. I walked out of the house. I went and called another Christian. I said, I need to meet with somebody right now. Took the best Christian. We didn't have any good Christians in the church that time. That's one reason going door knocking alone is not good. You never know what you run into. That house was full of devils. Full of them. Now, you probably don't have your book on 25 ways to worship Satan. Okay, I hope you don't. If you do, get rid of it. Don't you guys come to church to learn that? You might not have any weird, deformed idols. And you might not have all those things. But you have some things the devil kind of says, this is mine. And this is godless. And this is immoral. Do you have any movies that maybe have witchcraft in them? Or nudity? Do you have any movies or books in your house that might deal with the occult? Do you have a Harry Potter book in your house? You might have some things that have cussing in them. Do you have some things in your house that you might have an abominable thing in your house that maybe isn't so good? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Do you have anything with adultery in your house? Whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with him already in his heart. Nudity. You have things about murder in your house? It's one of the works of the flesh. In last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, covetous, evil, disobedient to parents. But it's a sin to be disobedient to parents. You don't have things in your house that talk about disobedient to parent. Do you have music that was there with the idolatry in Exodus when Moses came down from the mountain? He says there was a sound of war in the camp. And they said, no, that's music. And the music of rebellion sounds like war. Do you have any music that sounds like war in your house? See, David played a certain way and the demons fled from Saul. And they played a certain way and demons came. Do you have music that talks about things that you think that demons would like and the devil would say, I feel comfortable in this, here and this. This talks about adultery. This talks about getting drunk. This talks about fornication. This talks about murder. I don't understand, Pastor. There's so much strife in my house. Do you have a lion on the couch? See, Pastor Brown, you're not connected to our culture, Pastor Brown. You don't understand. Everybody watches stuff with adultery and nudity and cussing. Not everybody. The devil attacks me enough without me opening the door for him. And just because everybody's doing it in this world does not mean that it's okay. If it was a sin 100 years ago and they'd go, oh, the unsaved 100 years ago would do that. If they saw what you see on your television now. Let alone Christians. It's probably still wrong. You might just be desensitized. Do you have music that's not godly? Or music that's driving the evil demons away? Witchcraft? Soothsaying? Astrology? Oh, pastors have books on my... reading about my... what do they call it when you... horoscope. I'm just doing my horoscope. Bible says that's demonic. You have that in your house? Things centered on death, sexual immorality. Here's a list. A good list is in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, Pastor Barham, you watch sports. How in the world do you do that? Turn off the commercials. And every cheerleader picture that comes on? It's hard. And if I can't do it, I won't watch sports. I'll listen to it on the radio. I don't get to watch that much sports. Works of the flesh. And, let me find where my list is here. I think it's actually, go back a chapter here. Galatians 5. I said Ephesians, Galatians 5. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. This is a good list. Those are the works of the flesh. I just want to say this to you. I know a lot of us have come from rough backgrounds. I know it's hard for us to talk about this, and our culture's inundated with it. But I ask you this. Would Jesus watch it? Is it bringing evil into your house? If you say, I keep getting defeated, Pastor. I can't seem to defeat the devil. I want to. I have the heart. I love God. I want to be a good Christian. I can't seem to make it. Is it maybe you've just given place to the devil? You're dwelling in anger. You've let him into your house. Into your car where you dwell, in your very home, it's full of strife and things like that. Listen, you may not be able to control everything, but control what you can control. You'll still get attacked. There'll still be billboards and magazines and everything else. Listen, it's hard for a guy to walk through a check stand and buy something nowadays. There's a lot of junk out there. However, don't give place. You give place to the devil. Don't you give place to the devil. Don't give him a place where he can sit in your house. If you don't want to give place to the devil, don't continue in your anger. Number two, don't accept sin in your life. Number three, remove his stuff from your house. And number four, fill your life with the Lord. 1 John 4:4 does say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I ask you this today? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you can be possessed by demons. and you won't be able to get them out by yourself. And they can control you and destroy you and make you kill people and make you think thoughts and want to kill yourself. And you can be possessed by demons unless Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Then he can just attack you from the outside if you're saved. But he can live inside of you. Demons can live inside of you. He has a place inside of you. The Bible calls us child of Satan, child of hell until we're saved. And if you go into false doctrine, he calls you a twofold child of hell. Can I ask you today, do you know 100% sure you're going to heaven? Is God living inside of you? I didn't ask if you're a good person. Have you gone to the Lord and said, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus to save me? He died on the cross. I accept him as my Savior. And once you have him inside of you, do you dwell in him all day long? In prayer, in Bible reading, in love, in a good atmosphere? Oh man, it is so important that we get that right atmosphere around. Listen, I know you're good folks. You're a church here. I know you probably aren't like that house I was in. I've been in most of your houses, and your house was not like that house. I wouldn't walk in your house and feel 6 million demons staring at me. I understand that. I'm not talking to that kind of person today. I'm just talking to you who maybe just took that Babylonian garment and little idol and a little gold and silver and put it in your stuff and taken it with you, and Israel's losing the battle. And you might have some things today. Can I say this? If you have some things, why don't you bring them tonight? We'll burn them. We'll destroy them. In the book of Acts, they did this. They brought things there in the book of Acts, and they burnt them at the church. They took it all. You bring something tonight, you got some music you want destroyed, bring it tonight. We'll destroy it. Got some movies you want destroyed? If the cover isn't lewd and we can take it and destroy it and see it, otherwise you can just throw it in the dumpster. But listen, do you need to get rid of some things? There's some books that aren't good, some magazines that aren't good, some music. Maybe there's some friends you're letting into your house. You're giving place to the devil in your very own home. You can bring evil people into your home. Can I tell you, I would witness that witch. I would love that witch. I would invite that witch to church. I would witness that witch. I would not invite her into my house. Good. And I certainly wouldn't let her live at my house. Amen. And she ain't bringing her idols if she's coming to my house. Do you let people who are bringing evil with them into your house? Don't give place to the devil. It's God will give you the victory, and Jesus Christ is more powerful, but not when you let the devil in. He's giving you a fortress. Just don't open the door. Can I ask you today, have you given place to the devil in your life? Are you dwelling in anger? Is there some sin that's just sitting there? I'm not saying you have the strength to get victory, but you need to start confessing it to God and striving against it, asking for help, seeking counsel. Have you given place to the devil tonight? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. One verse with six words is all we wanted to focus. Neither give place to the devil. And Lord, I know my voice is weak today, and though, Lord, I can't preach a dynamic message today, I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. And if there's something we need to destroy, something we need to throw away, something we need to remove, somebody we need to remove, something we need to do, not to give the devil a place in our house. If there's an anger that we are continuing in, if, Lord, we are going and letting the devil in and letting him have a place, if we are letting